Hello, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Come on, you foxes!
TV, your first choice for everything Leicester City.
Tune in
and join in now.
Right, Chris.
All right there. Good evening, everybody. How the devil are we all? Yeah. It's getting further in the past. My memory is one of the good things about being old is your memories don't last quite as long. And yeah, I'm trying to forget it. No doubt we won't though. Welcome along. This is Leicester Till I Die. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Watching on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, the YouTube channel Leicester Till I Die TV. Please give us a sub. And on if you're listening to this on catch up on Spotify, thank you for listening. But not only Spotify, Anchor, Apple, iTunes, Google, all the main ones, you can find us there. In fact, this is where you can find us.
Watch us on YouTube. Listen on your favorite podcast platform. Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow, and join in now.
Indeed. And, well, I want to say hello to this lady. And I, when I say lady, I sort of kind of very loosely, if you know what I mean. I'm not saying she's a loose lady or anything, but I knew she'd pop on. TM, good evening. How are you? Very happy, I would imagine, after the other night. What can I say? He probably deserved it on the overall run of play, but it was just the way it happened. Yeah. God, I hate Tottenham. I really do. It's the preview show, Leicester Brighton.
It's the Premier League preview show with Chris and Craig on Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter.
Strap yourself in because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
And good evening to a gentleman who's always switched on. Craig, how the devil are you?
I'm good, thanks, Chris. How are you?
Yeah, not so bad. As long as that switched on doesn't mean you're sat in an electric chair. Oh, I can see you now.
I can't.
Yeah. You got those great lights. Are we going to talk to TM? What do you think?
Oh, go on. You know, why not? you're quite right in what you said, though. If it had been 3-2 after 65 minutes, 70 minutes, you know, we'd have said, yeah, Spurs deserved the win and we'd walk away. It was just the nature of it, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, if they'd got their shooting boots on, they could have been 4 or 5 up at half time, like Man City. Yeah. And, you know, then if we'd come back, we would have lost. I think what annoys me about all these sort of opposing team fans, and you take the banter with you know, when you lose, you give it out when you win. So I have been on a couple of Tottenham streams after the game and sort of given them my congratulations and what have you. But it's the fact that, you know, we bottled it. And I don't know how you can say a loss of one game is bottling it. You know, it's like, did Arsenal bottle it against Forest? You know, you didn't. Yeah. You lost one game, and I think that's what annoys me.
Yeah, I think they're saying that because they know deep down in their black hearts that they bottled the league when we won it. You know,
exactly. Exactly.
They should have won the league that year. You know, they had the team, they had the manager, they had everything going for them. And they, I think they finished third that season. But,
may well have done, especially because there was only two players in it for a long time, wasn't there?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. And at the end of the day, I'm sorry, you know, but what was it? It was 3 points you won. Was it a trophy they won? No, but by all means, put a little card in the old Tottenham trophy cabinet saying we beat Leicester 3-2. You know?
Yeah.
TM says, in fact, adds, sorry, but I do support Leicester when we aren't playing. Thanks, guys, for talking to me. It's all banter, TM. It's all banter. Anthony, good evening. How are you? He says, don't mention the cup game. I'm grateful to you, guy. You know, we haven't had an East Midlands derby for a long time. We're going to come on to score predictions later, Anthony. And LDX says, good evening, Chris and the Wise Owl.
Thank you very much.
He's obviously sending you money because you missed the old out of it.
Yes, thank you for that.
Yeah, but I want to start the show with some breaking news. It went up on Facebook and Twitter, but I don't know if you've heard this, but the EPL have announced the official for this weekend's game.
Excellent.
Yes. Where was he when you needed him, eh?
Well, let's hope we're winning by 85 minutes.
Well, of course, that's never guaranteed, is it?
No, not at all.
But I mean, how do you think, before we go into, because obviously we've got Brighton on Sunday, how do you think Leicester will react, the players will react to that?
Well, I think that it was the talking point coming back away from the ground, to be honest. It's the defeat and the nature of it is one thing, but it is how you react to it. The next thing, I think it'll stand them in good stead, to be honest. I don't think we'll make that mistake again. That's for sure. Mm. And you could see and hear how angry Rodgers was, which again, I quite like, to be honest, because he should be angry the same way that the rest of the fans were angry. I'm glad that he didn't come out and try and make up some silly excuses. And I think one of the interviewers said to him, so what do you do in this situation? Do you let them mull on it and then you talk about it the next day? He said, no, you get straight into them and you tell them.
Yes.
You know, which was good.
It was good to see him actually showing a bit of passion, wasn't it?
Yeah, because it's something that I've accused him of not showing, you know. And the thing with Brendan is that he comes out and he says some things that I really like. You know, he talks about what he wants from his defenders, for instance. He wants them to have pace. He wants them to be physical. But then, you know, you get performances which are anything but, and he picks players that are anything but. Now, I know he's basically been stuck. The biggest issue I've got is, why did we end up spending 15 million in the first place? And I know I don't want to pick on Vestergaard, but if the attributes you like in a defender are pace and physicality, I'm not sure what, you know, I think someone got passed the wrong note when that deal was done, because that's everything he's not. Maybe it was like, right, you know, he wrote a note saying, I need this. And someone said, yeah, that's what he doesn't want, because that's what we got.
Yes, yeah. I mean, you always say that January transfer window purchases are panic buys, but I almost think that was a panic buy.
I think you're right.
But then again, we had been linked to Vestergaard before. So he was obviously in that pot of players, but I think it was a case of, we wouldn't have bought Vestergaard had Fofana not got injured. I think we sort of can agree on that. And I think when he got injured, he says, we need to buy somebody. How much money have we got? You know, we've maybe couldn't have afforded somebody like Tarkowski or somebody like that. We, you know, had to buy what we could afford, and unfortunately, that's Vestergaard.
Yeah, I mean, let's not forget that we got Bertrand as well. You know, I know he was a free, but I don't know. Something just was wrong there. I don't know whether someone at Southampton was owed money. I don't know, but
allegedly. But what, can I just add allegedly onto that?
You know? I don't know. It just seemed weird that we ended up buying two of them, and neither of them have turned out. And I think we both, and most people, hoped that they were going to be decent signings. And I think on his day, you know, Vestergaard, and he's a good footballer. But unfortunately, most of the times you don't necessarily need a good footballer. You want a defender who's going to get stuck in.
You do. And I mean, I had high hopes for Bertrand, to be honest with you, because I thought pre-season he looked to be one of our best players. And I guess a bit like with Perez, you try and sort of make excuses for them. So how they might be. But I'm just thinking, you know, it's probably not helped Vestergaard that he's coming to a back four that's in such disarray as ours is at the moment. You know, because he doesn't know who he's going to be playing with one week. You know what it's like, you know, you're a footballer, you got your teammates, you know that team, you know, player B is going to be there, so you pass the ball knowing that he'll be running onto it. And then suddenly one week it's player C, then it's player D, then player E. So he hasn't had that settled back four to move into.
Yeah, it's all about partnerships, isn't it? As you say, it's you know, going back to the Premier League winning side, you know, none of those individually were great defenders, but as a unit, they were great. You know, they all knew what to expect of each other and worked as a unit. So when that's changing all the time, yes, it is difficult. But from that point of view, you think if you're not unsure, if you're not sure of how that back four is going to work together, then you play it a little bit safer. You don't stick with the same tactics of pushing up on a high line, particularly at the end of a game. You know, when you know you've been caught out, you know, for the previous 90 minutes, it wasn't like there wasn't any warning signs that we were going to get done for pace. Yet we made the same mistakes all the way throughout the game. And that's the frustrating thing, you know, see what's happening in the game and react to it.
Yes. Yeah. And Rodgers isn't, unfortunately, always good at that, is he? No. You know, but I was going to say something then. We know we're well. The papers are still linking us with all these players, but Rodgers keeps coming out and saying we can't afford anybody, there's no money there. And if that is the case, I understand that totally, because, you know, the way the business that our owners are in and what have you, and everything that's gone on with COVID. But I just wonder, sometimes you get a player that he's been playing in one position for so long, and you think that's the position that is his. But then he gets moved out, or a manager sees something in him, or he plays in a role as an emergency, and suddenly that becomes his role. Now, do you think Hamza Chowdhury is possibly an answer in our back four? He's not let us down in that position, and certainly he knows when he's got it, boot it upfield.
Well, I think you touched on something there. You threw in a word there, which I think is really important to Hamza as a centre-half, and that's back four. Because I think he'll be better in a four rather than a three. Because when you get the three, you get your wing-backs pushed further up and your two either side of the central defender end up coming out wide and getting a lot more ball. And Hamza had a lot of ball against Spurs, and he didn't particularly use it that well. So, but in a four, I think you're more confined to that penalty area, and your job is defending, not trying to be the starter of attacks. Yes. So, I think I would like personally to see him go to a back four again. And we'll touch on it later, I think, in terms of the way that Brighton will be set up. Yeah. But I would like to see the back four come back and just concentrate on defending rather than the defenders trying to be the starter of the attacks.
Yeah. I mean, I prefer a back four anyway, every day of the week, you know. But
if we're going to touch on it, we saw the fact that when you play against a team that also have a back five, it becomes a battle of the wing backs. and who's got the bottle or the pace to push the other pair back. Now, we'll touch on it later when we're talking about the one to watch that I've chosen for Brighton. It's a very, very similar situation as Spurs were. And our wing-backs got pushed back much more than we were pushing their wing-backs back, which meant you end up with a back five, essentially, and then you get overloaded in midfield because we had a two up front. So if you're playing with a back four, even if their wing-backs push on, you're still a back four. You've still got four players in the middle of your park to actually deal with everything else. So I think unless you're really confident that your wing-backs are better than the wing-backs you're facing, I think you're better off going with a four against wing-backs.
Yeah. A quick hello to Terry. Yep, you're late. I hope you bought a note. And Nippon, how the devil are you? But yeah, that's a big cup there, Craig.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. Spurs wouldn't know much about this. It's a big cup, look.
Very, very true. That deserves a... Definitely. I like that one. You were quick there. You got in with that one. Nice one. So it's a case that we have got Brighton this weekend at Leicester. It's a 2 p.m. kickoff, but we're not on the TV at all. If you are looking on the official places, I'm sure there are places you would be able to find it. Just look at some of Brendan's comments here. This made me laugh. The squad have a clean bill of health. That's like pushing the boundaries a bit, Brendan. Yeah. But it's basically no new illnesses or injuries, which, my God, that's good to read, isn't it?
It is.
You know. And then he says, Rodgers has confirmed Daniel Amati has returned from the Africa Cup of Nations and he is available for Sunday. And again, I never thought I'd say this, but thank God.
Yeah. Like I say, I'd like to see him back in that back four, I think.
Yes, definitely.
Maybe with Hamza, because, you know, I don't know what's happened to our Soyuncu, but he's gone AWOL, hasn't he, this season?
He has. And he hasn't got, you know, he's got Vestergaard next to him, not Evans, yeah. And I think that makes a big difference as well. On the return of James Justin, it's going to take him a little period of time to find his level, but he's a man that's naturally fit anyway. He didn't look bad when he came on, did he?
No, he looked very good. Yeah, there was a couple of times where he went into challenges as well, and there was one where he stayed down, and you did wonder, but he got up with a smile on his face. It's great to see him back.
I was watching. I was doing what these days it's called a backs and Daka. You know, watching through your fingers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, oh, God, he's gone down. No, you know. But then what we touched on earlier, he has said there is not likely to be any signings in the transfer window because of the little resources. So
I saw today for the first time we'd been linked with a loan move for a Chelsea defender, though. Saar, who they brought in, I think, in the summer and hasn't had much game time at all. So that may be a possibility, but... I mean, with players coming back, you know, you wouldn't have thought that he would go down and get somebody that wouldn't play.
Yeah. You know. Well, this is the fact, isn't it? The fact that he's always said they're every time you watch Sky Sports transfer show when they go around the clubs, it's always he's looking for a central defender on loan, and it's always that. And if that's the case, and it makes sense because when everybody is fit. We're going to have a team, and if we're not careful, if we buy somebody else, we're going to have a team of central defenders, which is a bit scary. You know, the last thing we want. But, let's talk about the last game against Brighton. 2-1 to Brighton and VAR Albion, wasn't it?
It was, wasn't it? That was our turn to be on the wrong side of some pretty dodgy VAR decisions. I mean, one of them particularly, I think we should have had. The other one, you could make an argument, although we got away with it. I think it was the following week, was it, against Norwich or the week before? A very similar scenario, but it definitely wasn't on our side that night.
And I don't think at that particular point, because I think that was about the fourth game that we were played or the fifth game we'd played, and I don't think anybody was really taking Brighton and Hove seriously. You know, and I certainly thought at the start of the season they were going to have another season where they'd be battling relegation. Mm. And I think they still had that sort of shock value.
Yeah, I mean, you can't knock what they've done. He's done a great job there. I think they're they're probably only a couple of players away from being a solid top half. You know, I think they'll finish mid-table, to be honest. I'm not sure they've got the squad depth to really challenge for the whole season. But again, if they manage to keep everybody fit, then they've got a chance. They keep it fairly tight at the back, which means they can get away with not being particularly prolific up front. Because again, you wouldn't say that they have a real out-and-out goal scorer. Morpé is a handful on his day, as is Welbeck, but there's nobody there that you think is a 15, 20 goal a season man.
No.
So the key to them is keep it tight at the back. And I would imagine that most of their victories, like the one against us earlier in the season, are by one goal.
Well, funny as you say that, because they've actually scored 22 and they've conceded 22.
Yeah.
So it's like you literally say it's one of the best defensive records, but one of the worst scoring records in the top 10. Mm. And of course, they sit just above us. So,
yeah.
But they have played two games more. And that's, I mean, it does make the table a little bit sort of Irish because nobody's actually on the same, hardly on the same number of games. Uh-huh. But we hope that it will be a little bit less VAR required on Sunday. Yes, but that is the head-to-head. And they've only beaten us the once, which was earlier in the season. A couple of draws and six wins. Again, on paper, you'd think normally that this would be a game for us, but we can't take anything lightly this season. Oh, excuse me, can we?
No, and as Brighton have shown, you know, they're no mugs this season at all. They've given everyone a game. I think they got beaten by Man City, but they gave Man City a hell of a scare and outplayed them for the last 20 minutes of the game against them. So, you know, they keep the ball well. You know, he's got them well drilled. They are solid at the back. Our biggest danger would be if, I mean, it doesn't really make any difference whether he plays Vestergaard or not, you know, saying that you need the height in there because, as I said before, you know, I think the guy's 6'7", and then when he jumps, he's 6'2". So it doesn't really make much difference. But one of the big worries against Brighton has got to be that height advantage that they've got. They've got some big guys there, although I'm not sure Dunk is fit, which is a benefit to us. Mm. But no, you can't see this being anything other than a tight game.
Yeah. Funny as you say about Vestergaard, and I might be wrong, but I'm sure I saw a stat. Now, whether this was a true stat or just somebody having a bit of fun, but they said that that Vestergaard went into like six aerial challenges and didn't win one of them.
No. I saw the same stat, and it doesn't surprise me, to be honest. I don't know. You just wonder, don't you? It's weird. It's just weird because he's got all the attributes apart from the pace. You would think, you know, he's decent on the ball, you know, when he's given time, but he's just all round awareness and it's that physicality. I mean, me and Scott, there was one where he put in quite a big challenge in the second half against someone, and we were almost sort of taken aback in shock that he'd actually gone in on a challenge quite physically and sort of shoulder barged somebody out of the way. And it's rare. You shouldn't be surprised when your centre half's going into a full-blooded challenge.
You know who you'd back with between him and Huth, wouldn't you?
Definitely.
I was going to say something else. I did tell you when you get old, your memory goes. this will be you one day, Craig. This will be you. That was what I was going to say. It's come back to me. Luke Thomas, I'm not sure who it was, but he was marking somebody in the box, and he was like half the size of the guy.
He was marking Harry Kane. And then sort of, I think, two-thirds of the way through the first half, there seemed to be a chain of messages coming across from the bench, basically saying, come on, change it. And I think Soyuncu went with Kane at the next one. And then I think he probably smashed a header against the bar.
Yes. But if you are looking at you know, man-to-man marking, which I'm glad we're back to, and I think most people are, rather than that zonal crap we had before. But if you do man-to-man marking, you are saying to players, right, you're marking him. your, you know, you've got to decide who it is before, surely. Yeah. And would you, I wonder if you would put Luke Thomas on Harry Kane.
I don't know on what planet that makes any sense whatsoever. You know, unless he thought he was, the height difference was so, so much that it would look like he was climbing all over him or whatever. I don't know. I don't know who has come up with that plan.
It was a weird one, wasn't it? You know, but yeah. But here's the form going into the game. We've lost three of the last five, but we've won two. Brighton, they've won two as well, but they haven't lost in the last five. You know, and they got hang on, I've gone too far now on the old. Just bear with me. There we go. They got a reputable draw against Chelsea. And with Crystal Palace, their last two. They beat Everton, which probably isn't that difficult at the moment. They played Chelsea twice, apparently, and got two draws against them, 2-1-1 draws, and they beat Brentford. So, you know, they're on a bit of a good run at the moment coming into this game. And like you said, it is all very much how we react to that Spurs defeat. Are you glad we're playing Brighton now, or would you have preferred this week to be the international break now?
No, I think it's important that that they come out and they've got another game. They'd have gone straight after that defeat. They'd have been back out on the training ground the next day and been trying to put that out. And I would hope that that training session, the first training session after that game, was quite a physical one and they got it out of the system. Yeah. But I think sometimes when there's a gap, you end up just ruining on it, and it gives people time to think about this, that, and the other. You know, has my agent got me a move yet? You know, all this kind of stuff.
You're
away on international duty, talking to God knows who from all these different clubs. I'm pleased that we have a game just a few days later to try and put it right.
It's the old fall off a bike, get straight back on.
Exactly.
It,
yeah,
isn't it? And it's funny, but I'm actually glad we're playing a team like Brighton, because I think if we're playing a team like Norwich, let's say, you would think, well, they wouldn't say, their attitude would be, it's Norwich, the bottom, you know what I mean? Where this is Brighton, we can't, you know, if we're playing Man City, they say, well, if we lose, we lose, it doesn't matter. But this is one where they've really got to go out and can't rest on the laurels. They have got, you know, they're a team literally above us by a couple of points in the league. I think it's the right sort of team for us to be playing.
It is, you're right. You know, there's not a lot of expectation, although, you know, if you read some fans' forums, we should be beating, you know, 80% of the league on a regular basis, you know. But I think those who understand football a little bit more know that games like this are tough, as you can see from those ones there. Nobody's turned them over. They're in every game. I can't remember this season seeing them being battered by anybody. You know, they may have had periods of a game where they've been under the cosh, but they have their own moments as well. So, there's no way that Brendan and the guys will be taking this seriously. They know they're going to be in a tough game.
Yeah. And looking at the table, I mean, I know it's early days yet, and I didn't realise until after the Spurs game, when I was looking at it, we've only actually played 19 games. So technically, we're only halfway through the season.
Yeah.
So really, we're all a bit down because, you know, we've had two really good seasons, probably punched above our weight if we are honest with ourselves and take the Plutinsy spectacles off. But we have literally half a season to go, and there's no reason that we can't, if we start, you know, the players come back and we do string a series of games together, that we can't climb that table.
No, I would expect us to be climbing it. I mean, you look at the teams above, though, and, you know, you've got Brighton there, but then Wolves are, probably the tightest. I mean, look at that for a goals against.
Yes.
You know, Wolves are not letting in many goals in at all.
No.
Arsenal are coming back into a bit of form. Spurs have now got a manager who can make something out of that pig's ear.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's tough. It's, you know, we can't expect to be hovering around those European places. I can't, even if we have a really good finish, a second half of the season, I'd be very surprised if we're in a European spot, to be honest. And and that, you know, that brings all the pressure onto that Conference League, which we'll talk about in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah. I mean, I know it goes down to seventh now, doesn't it? Qualification for the Conference.
I think it depends on who wins the Cups as well, doesn't it?
It is, it, right. Yeah. I mean, the good thing is, like I say, we've only played 19 games, but then we are 10 points behind, you know, the likes of Man United, but we have got two games in hand. It's such a topsy-turvy league this season. And I don't know why this was the season I decided to start doing prediction leagues. I was a fool to myself. Mm. I was going to call this part Fun Facts, but some of them aren't that fun. But Leicester have only lost three of their 17 home league games against Brighton. Mm. Most recently, we all remember this one, 4-1 loss in April. Mm. Also known as the hangover game, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was if I'm right, that was the one after we just got one promotion, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, I don't think we really turned up for that one, did we?
No. And I think that was the game where we actually decided Bai New Joe was a good... good thing. Yeah.
Well, it didn't turn out too bad, to be fair.
No, I to be honest with you, funnily enough, I haven't done a foot in both camps today, but if I did, it would be Leo Ujoa. Yeah. Lovely guy, absolutely lovely guy. He did a bit for me for the website, leicestersledeye.com, on the favourite things section. But I think he was treated really badly at the end.
I don't know. You never really know what goes on behind the scenes. I think he was a victim of managers coming in who wanted to play a bit of a different way.
Mm.
You know, you could say the same with Slimani. I know Slimani didn't really get the chance to endear himself to the fans. But you've got two players there who thrive on balls being played into the box. And it doesn't seem to be in vogue at the moment, which... for any sort of old-fashioned centre-forward is frustrating, to say the least.
Yeah. Terry, you're on form today. We have the answer to Man City and their false number nine. We invented the false centre-back.
Yeah.
Sorry, Terry, you had to get one of those. It did follow. I didn't put this one up, but I did follow. I hear Brighton want Vestergaard. One of the legs holding the pier is rotting. Terry, don't give up the day job. You make me look funny. the next fun fact, if you like. Hang on, it didn't work that, did it? There we go. Brighton's 2-1 victory over Leicester at the Amex early this season was their first ever Premier League win against the Foxes. They're looking to do the league double against them for the third time, previously doing so in 1980, 81 and 2013-14. You know when somebody's got a record to break. Oh, can we play Leicester?
Yeah, I mean, at least there's no pattern there. It's not like every 10 years or 20 years or anything, is there? There's nothing there. And I am pleased that you've changed these from did you know? Because I'm not sure where the fun is in any of these.
No, exactly. Chris. I actually, when I was doing this, and I called them Did You Know for the last game, I thought, oh, fun facts, that's nice and snappy. And I put fun facts, and then I was typing the thing and I went, no, this isn't much fun. I changed it back. You think it can't get any worse?
No, here we go.
Yeah, here we go. I say here we go, here we go. Brighton have lost just one of their 10 Premier League away games so far this season. They've won 3 and drawn 6. No side has lost fewer on the road than the Seagulls.
Excellent.
Yeah. Has that cheered you up, mate?
Oh, no, that's something to look forward to then, isn't it? It's, you know, I mean, the flip side of that is that, you know, teams can't always keep on those kind of runs, can they?
They can't. That is very, very true. We're going to come to predict a score later, obviously, but at this point, would you take a draw or should this really
I knew. I knew you were going to say that.
I don't like
one of your favourite lines, that is. It yeah. always seems to be, we always seem to be chasing a defeat or something. And when you come up with the, would you take a draw? would I take a draw? I think the thing is that the situation that we're in, it doesn't really, a draw's not much use, is it really? You've got to start getting wins. You know, if you drop a point, you drop a point. I think the value is in gaining three. I'd have gladly taken a point the other night, that's for sure, based on the performance. But I think these are the teams, you know, those that are around you, those ones that are almost like, you know, when you're on the motorway and you get tempted into overtaking the next car because you're just bored of sitting behind it for so long. I think Brighton are that car at the moment. They're just there. They should be a team that we shouldn't be behind. So this is an opportunity to overtake them.
Right. Very good. Very good answer. Very good answer. We come on now, and I'm going to let you introduce this guy because you know what I'm like with names, and I think the only reason you picked him was because I can't pronounce that name. So this is the one to watch you've gone for. Let me just try and bring – I don't know why it's not bringing you up, but
that's fine. I'm behind his hair. I think it's pronounced Cucurella. That's what I'm going to go with anyway, Mark Cucurella. I've been really impressed with this guy this season. I think we were all impressed over the last couple of seasons with Tarik Lamptey on the other side, who plays as a right-back and who just bombs forward. This guy is the equivalent on the left-hand side and bombs forward a lot. He's always looking to get forward. He's got a decent left foot. And this is where I was talking about the similarities with the Spurs game, that if he plays Lamptey and he plays Cucurella, they're going to be looking to push forward. They tend to play with these and then they'll have a back three. So these two guys are going to be looking to bomb on all the time, which means if we're going with a five again, we're more than likely going to end up with Albrighton. If we play Thomas, fair enough. If we play Justin, that gives a little bit more, but it means that we're going to be weaker in the middle of the defence if he's playing a three. So this is where I think we should stick with a back four. Let these two wide guys come on to us, because then we should have more players in more advanced positions to be able to break on them and exploit the space in behind wing-backs. But I think he's a really, really good player. He's been there a couple of seasons now, I think. But, you know, in terms of the modern-day wing-backs, Brighton have got two of the very best in the division in Lamptey and Cucurella.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, can you imagine if he's going up against Hamza Chowdhury?
Yeah. It'd be one of those, wouldn't it, where kids in the playground used to get their hair caught in each other's. You know, I can imagine that happening. You just have to have them untangled.
Yeah, we would, wouldn't we? It would certainly be a case of, if it was a head injury, you wouldn't be able to tell who would you, really? No.
I'll tell you what, it's probably, from the way penalties are given, it's probably a good job we haven't got Robert Huth playing, because he'd love to have a go at that hair, wouldn't he, in the penalty box?
Oh, God, yes, wouldn't he just? LDH, I think Craig has a liking for difficult to pronounce names. There was quite a few in the quiz last night. Were you on a quiz last night, young man?
Yeah, I was with you, mate.
Yes, indeed. Sorry, I was it was so memorable. When LDH, I apologise, LDH, I was thinking you were on a quiz being questioned, you know, you were the right. I forgot we did that. It was a memorable show.
I enjoyed it, to be fair. I'm guessing you nodded off.
I always enjoy them because I've only got to answer one question. And I felt so sorry for the guy that came on, Rich. And I didn't announce the scores at the end because I didn't want everybody to say, like, how did he do? What was the score? I don't yet. Have a look on the tweet or whatever. I did like to bless him.
It's tricky, isn't it? Because I know it's difficult to gauge whether you've gone too hard or not. I thought there were some stinkers in there. There was a couple of stinkers on the Leicester ones, but then there were also ones that most people would know, I think.
Yeah.
But it's tricky when you're setting questions for their own team to know how hard to go. But hopefully I've tried to be pretty much the same on everyone.
I mean, to be honest with you, I'd probably do what he did, which is, you know, half the answers if you were on camera and having people watching you, you know, which is why I I've been challenged to do a quiz by Jake from West Ham United. Now, Jake is about 14. He looks about 10. And I haven't taken him up on it yet because I'm sure he would absolutely wipe the floor with me. And if I do a quiz, I want all the questions to be pre-1999 to give me a chance of winning. Talking about a chance of winning, you got out of it very well earlier with the score predictions. None of us went for that. Yeah, even Ian Marshall said we'd beat Spurs. Maybe that was the problem. But these are the predictions for Sunday. I think I've gone for, well, I don't think I've gone. I can say I've gone for a 3-1 to us. I hopefully, because I think we will have that bounce back after that game, and I think we'll go for it. Marsh has gone 2-1. Steve Walsh 1-0. Tags 2-1 the same. Even Steve Lynott has gone 3-0. And Ian Wilson has gone 1-0. Where do you fit into that group?
My natural instinct was to go 2-1. That I think it's going to be tight, to be honest. But obviously it depends how he's going to line up at the back. But I'm going to go, I'll push the boat out and go for a 2-0.
You devil, you.
I know.
You know how to live dangerously, don't you?
Hold me back, someone.
Are you gonna be there? Are you?
I shall be there indeed. Yeah,
and good.
Yeah, I shall be staying to the end, and hopefully it's a less fraught one.
I can say, I mean, it's going to be a quiz question. We've handed Spurs a record there, though, haven't we? With the fact that nobody was behind for so long in a match to again go on and win it, you know, and you can't. I mean, you know, I just think there's a bit of naivety at 90-odd minutes. When you've got the ball, you just go into the corner. I don't care how many injury minutes are to go on.
Yeah. I think, you know, Yuri just made the wrong decision because he wanted to win the game. You know, that in some ways, you've got to say it's a great mindset to have.
Yeah.
You know, but then you've got to have that experience of just saying, right, we've not played particularly well in this game. Let's take the point and just move on to the next one.
I mean, had that pass gone through and somebody had picked it up and we'd scored and got the draw, then Yuri would have been the best player, you know, we've ever had.
Yeah.
And I'm not blaming Yuri for it at all. It's just, I think as a team, we should have, say, been going into the corner. But when you look at the goal, I mean, there was three of those goals yesterday, all went in off the post, including ours. And you look at that, and they say size doesn't match, but I think an inch last night would have made all the difference. TM will tell me if that is true or not. But when you look at that final goal, an inch more to the left to hit the post it would have come out.
It trickled, didn't it? He basically scuffed it, didn't he? And and it just rolled in. I mean, you know, Soyuncu raced back. You know, if he'd have ambled back, he'd have probably got that ball. It was only the fact that he raced back that he went past it. So, it's just frustrating and one that we'd like to forget.
Andrew says, exactly. Good evening, Andrew. How are you? We deserve to lose. We should have been 4-1 down at half-time. Yeah, you know, we should have. But that's football. It's not one on paper. It's one out there. And I say it's a silly season. I think if we can finish top 10 at least and then go on and win the conference, I think that is. But then again, knowing Leicester, we'll get knocked out by Randers, is it? Or whatever they're called.
Indeed.
But there we go. Craig, as always, sir, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for coming on.
You're welcome. Enjoyed it.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. And we will see you. Now, there's no match next week, but we have got a quiz.
We have
on Wednesday at 9 o'clock. It's Wolves. The Sweet and Sour podcast. We're slowly getting up. I'm glad we've done Burnley early on. I don't know if Dan's watching or not, but of course, by the end, he might not have been a Premier League team, and that's what we're going for. Sorry, Dan, if you're watching.
You're not sorry at all, are you, Chris?
Oh, no, he knows me. He knows me. Craig, thanks very much, mate. Take care and enjoy the game.
Cheers. Thanks, Chris. Craig. Thanks, everyone. Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you. Oh, thanks to Craig for that, as always. Oops, I don't know why I'm bringing that back in. I wanted to get rid of that. It's I tell you what, it's a new PC. And I don't know, has anybody got Windows 11 yet? Because when you get this, it came with Windows 10, but you could download Windows 11. And there's actually quite a few just little changes, and things aren't where they're meant to be, you know, like copy and paste and all things like that, that they're somewhere else. And it's confusing. It's confusing. But then I am easily confused, Craig would tell you. I'm going to be back at 9 o'clock. If you pop over to Turf Moor House TV, you'll see me on their prediction show. And if you want to see Dan being Dan, check out Leicester Till I Die TV. Go on to latest shows, How to Embarrass a Mate. And it's Dan the Burnley fan getting owned by his missus. Had to be done. And I'm going to be back on Sunday with... It's the post-match show with Brad, about 5 o'clock post-match. And then, of course, don't forget, next Tuesday at 10, we've got the blue-tinted specs man. Some say he's arrogant, bigoted, opinionated, obnoxious and prejudiced. That's just half of him. You wouldn't believe it. And that's on Tuesday at 10. Thanks again to Craig, and I will see you at 9 o'clock if you pop over to Dan's channel, Turf Moor House TV. Thanks very much. Thanks for watching. And if you're on this podcast, thanks for listening. Good night now.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye and see you next time. That's all,
it's all over. It is now.